Looking back, I know it's been like 4 years. I think it was 2009 was the last time we were able to be here at the camp meeting. And so for the last 8 years, actually, we've been in Woodlawn, Virginia, and doing a mission work in a small church there. And the Lord has called us back now to go into back into full-time evangelism. And so for you folks here at Fellowship, I said to Dr. Ennis last night, hopefully we'll get to see each other more often than like we used to. I sure love those share-a-thons, the radio station, and all the times that we've had together. And this is really one of our very favorite places to be. And but we do covet your prayers. We just started this year. And as Dr. Ennis mentioned, we're originally from Alabama. And so at this stage in our life, we are desiring to go back to our home area, be closer to some family. And as it turned out, the Lord has directed us to a very wonderful mission-minded missionary church in Sweet Springs Baptist Church in Ardmore, Alabama. Brother Joel Logan, the pastor there, and they have sent out missionaries from their church. They have what is called the Faith Baptist Missions, and so they've graciously accepted us in as members of the church and as a missionary evangelist out of the mission board there in Faith Baptist Missions, though we've only been there three times. Heard the preacher preach on a Wednesday night, was there for a missions conference on a Monday night, joined the church, was there on a Sunday to preach, and but haven't been able to be back yet. So we're in the process of trying to get to the place of getting a home there and getting back and being involved, you know, with the church there when we're at home. But we need your prayers. We're on deputation now, seeking to raise some more support and booking meetings and all of that. And so appreciate so much your prayers for us. If you'll open your Bible to Job chapter 19. Job chapter number 19. I appreciate so much the good music already and the good testimony time. I appreciate our brother's testimony of the power of God in an individual's life, and how God can heal, and how God can change, and how God can help, and He can provide. I believe He still can this morning. Amen. So I thank God for those testimonies. If you found Job chapter 19, we'll read beginning with verse 25. If you would, let's stand together in honor of the reading of the Word of God, all that would and would be able to. Very familiar text, I'm sure, but verse 25, verse 26, and verse 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Notice in verse 25 again how that Job says, I know. He said, I know. That my Redeemer liveth. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, thank you especially for the presence of the sweet Holy Spirit in our midst. Lord, we know that you promised us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that there you are in the midst. And Lord, we not only believe that because you said it in your Word, but we believe that because we experience it in our own hearts. And Lord, we've experienced it already this morning. Your presence in our midst through that sweet Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we do pray that you'd bless the reading, the preaching of the Word of God today, that you'd speak to our hearts and stir our hearts, and Lord, help us today. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, the Bible says, Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate, or that is, except you be unapproved. Really, that means except you be lost, you know, on your way to hell. He says, you got to know that Jesus Christ is in you. But the Bible says to examine yourself. I want to ask the question this morning, do you know that it's real? Do you know that it's real? I really think that one of the greatest needs today among God's people and in God's church all around America and even around this world is that need for assurance, that need for the assurance of a real salvation. You see, how do you know when it's real? How do you know when something is real? How do you know when your faith is real? I believe you know that it's real when it's put to the test. Amen? When it's been put to the test. And if there ever was a man whose faith was put to the test, it was this man Job. God gives him to us here in the Word of God, I think, as a good example for us. We talk about the patience of Job and how Job trusted God even through very extreme adverse conditions. And you know the story of Job, I'm sure, so we won't take time to go back. But Job was a man that lost his family, lost his wealth, lost his health. And yet through it all, Job still knew that his Redeemer lived. He had an assurance, you see. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, he said, "Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble." And through it all, Job learned, I think through that trouble, he learned some valuable things. He learned things that would keep him pressing on, no matter how troublesome it was, no matter how terrible, no matter how frustrating his circumstances. You see, I don't think Job really understood all that was going on in his life, but yet he was able to get through. In chapter 13, verse 15, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And so here's the question that I believe that we need, that would help us and will help the people in our churches and all across this country this morning. And that is, how did Job make it through all that he went through? How is he able to make it through? I think that the key to Job making it through what he went through and handling what he had to handle in his life. And when it comes to those things in our lives that are very uncertain, when trouble comes, when trial comes, how do you get through that? I really think the key is found in one word, and that is the word assurance. When we have assurance, when we know, when we have assurance that our faith is real, that our salvation is real, when we've got assurance in God, you mark it down, it will help us face whatever this world would throw at us. I think that's the real key. That's the real need in the Christian's life and in churches, the life of churches today, and that is assurance. Job had this, and it helped him. Let me give you just three thoughts here about the assurance that Job has. First of all, he has the assurance, now watch this, the assurance of a salvation that is now. The assurance of a salvation that is now. In other words, you notice how in verse number 25 where he says, "I know my Redeemer liveth." He says, "I know my Redeemer liveth." That word liveth is in the present tense, you see. That's talking about, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my salvation is now. That it is a present salvation. Job did not understand why his faith had been tested so, but Job knew he had a salvation that was now, that was present with him. You say, well, how could he know that? Job had to look by faith. And Job had to look ahead by faith, amen, to know that his Redeemer lived. He had to look ahead by faith to the cross of Calvary, to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize what a special, listen, what a special time that you and I are living in today in this age of grace? Job had to look ahead. We have the privilege of looking back. Can you say amen? I mean, we can look back to Bethlehem and we see the coming of the Son of God. We look back to the cross of Calvary. We look back to an empty tomb. We've got the writings of the apostles. We've got the book of Acts. We've got the account, the testimony of the eyewitnesses. Job didn't have any of those things. Job had to look ahead by faith, but you and I have the privilege of looking back by faith, and we know that there is a present salvation. That salvation is available now. Jesus Christ has come, amen, and took our place on that old rugged cross, was buried in that borrowed tomb, raised on that third day. He's alive and well this morning. We can say along with Job, "I know my Redeemer liveth." It's a present salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Right now is the time. Right now souls can be saved. Amen. Right now lives can be changed. Right now we can know the presence of the power of God in our lives. It is a present salvation. Job had an assurance like that. He had an assurance of a salvation that is now, right now. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Number two, he had the assurance of a salvation that is to come. Not only a salvation now, but a salvation that is to come. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. And though, well, look at verse 25 again. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and then he says, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Did you see that? Job is looking ahead, you see. And he says, I know he lives now. I know I got him now. But I know he's going to stand on the earth in that latter day. So it's a salvation, the assurance of a salvation that is to come. Verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. He not only had an assurance of salvation now, because he says my Redeemer liveth now in the present tense, but he has an assurance of a salvation that is to come. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, you might want to look there if you're not familiar with this verse, but I just point this out to you. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes and says, and that knowing the time. Now, you read that text, you understand. He's talking about these last days that you and I are living in right now. And I really think that Romans chapter 13 and beginning with verse 11 there, that is especially a text concerning revival in the church and revival among God's people in these last days. That knowing the time that you and I are living in, knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep, that's revival right there, amen? That's the church awakening out of sleep, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, putting off darkness and making making no provision for the flesh. I mean, that's revival. But he says, it is high time to wake out of our sleep for, watch this, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What does that mean? Our salvation, which is present right now. There is also a salvation that is still yet to come. Because he says, now our salvation is nearer, that is to come, than when we believed, when we received it in the beginning, you see. There's not only a salvation that we've got right now, church, but there's a salvation that is still yet to come. You see, we're talking about here the fullness of your salvation. The eternal abode in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ and with all the saints of old and the church as the bride of Christ being gathered together. You see, there is coming a full salvation. We don't have it all right now, amen? We don't have our glorified body now. We are not in heaven now, but we have a salvation that's coming. Job had that assurance. Job had faith not only in a present salvation, but he had faith in a future salvation as well, a salvation that is to come. And you'll notice this. I mean, Job's got it right on target here because he mentions this in a twofold manner, that this salvation that is to come, the fullness of our salvation, the completeness of it, this salvation that is to come is twofold. Number one, it involves the resurrection of the body. The resurrection of the body. Look at Job 19, our text, verse 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body. You see that? This body. Then he says, yet in my flesh shall I see God. It's almost a paradox there. He says, this body is destroyed, but yet in my flesh I'll see God. How in the world can that take place? It cannot take place except for one thing, and that is by the resurrection of the body. Resurrection of the body. You see, in the salvation that is to come, we will have a new body.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know the text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and pick up with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is those that have gone on in death, and them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And listen, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first, the resurrection of the body. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be of the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And also, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption, but I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that passage of scripture right there, don't you? See, the Bible shows us here that there is going to be the resurrection of the body in our the fullness, the completion of our salvation. There's going to be the resurrection of the body. Job says, though these skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'll see God. The resurrection of the body. No more pain. No more disease. No more sorrow. Imagine that, church. A brand new body God is going to give to us. Amen. And then not only did Job recognize this, but in that assurance of a salvation to come, there's the resurrection of the body, but there's also the revelation of the Lord. Look at it. Job 19. Verse 27, well, verse 26, the latter part, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And he says, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. My friend, there is on the horizon a revelation morning. There is coming a day when the Lord Jesus himself will be revealed from heaven with power and with great glory. And today, listen, today he reveals himself through his word and through his church and by his Holy Spirit. But there is coming a day, and Job knew it. Job saw it. Job believed it. Job had assurance of it. There is coming a day when we will see him as he is. He said, in my flesh. In my flesh, I'll see God. Amen. Whom I'll see for myself and not another. See him as he is. Isn't that what John said? 1 John chapter 3. Didn't John say the same thing? Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not as he was, but as he is. Well, what's that? Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. I like that. I marked that in my Bible. Every eye shall see him. What will we see? John has a glimpse of it. When it tells us how he heard the Lord speak, and the Lord gave him directions concerning the revelation. But anyway, he says in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 1, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like in a fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Over in verse 18, Jesus speaks to him and says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and death. And then over there in Revelation 19, you remember that text beginning with verse 11? When John writes, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. Had name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, Job had an assurance of a salvation that's now. He also had an assurance of a salvation that is to come. And he speaks of the resurrection of the body and of the revelation of the Lord. My friend, understand, the day is coming when we will see him as he is, not as he was. We'll see him as he is. We won't see him as the lowly babe of Bethlehem, and we won't see him as the suffering, humble, crucified Christ, but we will see him as the all-conquering, victorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will see him as he is. That's the salvation that is to come. And Job says, I know that. Job, you think of all that he went through. Go back and read those beginning verses, beginning chapters. And look at all that Job went through. And yet Job is able to say, I know something. He never does. If you read the book of Job, I think you'll agree with me. You'll find out. I don't think, Brother Joe, I don't think he ever understood it. I don't think he could ever say to, Job could ever say to us, if God allowed Job to come down from glory and preach in this camp meeting, I don't think Job could say to us, I understand all that went through in my life. Many of you here this morning, you've had sufferings in your life. And I think it'd be safe to say that you would be able to say this morning, Preacher, I don't understand it. I don't understand why it happened. I know God got me through it. I see on the other end of it, that expected end, that good end. I saw how that all things work together for good in my life, and I can give testimony of that. But I cannot sit here or stand here and explain to you how I can understand what took place in my life. I think Job was like that. Job couldn't understand it, but Job says, but I know it. He says, I know something. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know there's salvation now. I know I'm going to see him. I know I'm going to have a new body because I'm going to see God in my flesh, he says. I know I'm going to see him. I know there's a salvation to come. May I say to you this morning, dear friend, there is no question at all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no question at all about the revelation. There's no question at all about his salvation. There's no question at all about the salvation to come. There's no question at all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. No question at all about the revelation of Jesus. The only question is, are you ready? Do you have assurance? Are you able to say with Job this morning, I know. I know of a salvation that is now, and I know of a salvation that is to come. Here's the third and final thing this morning. Job has the assurance of a salvation that is mine. Salvation that is mine. Not only salvation now or salvation to come, but a salvation that is mine, verse 25 again, for I know, what's the words? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Did you see the head? Job says, hey, I can't explain to you all what's going on in my life, but I know this, I know my Redeemer liveth. My friend, listen, do you know that it's real when you examine yourself to see if you're in the faith? Listen, to know that it's real, I really believe you've got to not only have a present salvation, a salvation to come, but you've got to have salvation that you own this morning. Salvation that is yours. Salvation that is mine. You see, real salvation. To know it's real. Real salvation is always a personal matter. It's always a personal thing. May I give you four things? It takes a personal conversion. John chapter 3, verse number 7. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. I like to think that when Jesus had that conversation with Nicodemus at night, that he may very well had pointed at him. And he said, you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then it's as if to really make Nicodemus understand, it might be that the Lord Jesus was watching the body language or the facial expressions of Nicodemus when he just makes that one statement after telling him that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I think he maybe kind of watched the facial expressions of Nicodemus, and he says, son, you must be born again. Not just that a man must be born again, but you must be born again. It is a personal conversion. It has to take place personally, you see. Same thing that was true for Nicodemus is true for you and me. Ye must be born again. It takes personal conversion to have real salvation. Number two, it takes a personal confession. A personal confession. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You know the verses that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Folks, there's got to be a personal conversion. There has to be a personal confession. That's what Job was doing when he says, I know my Redeemer liveth. Personal confession. Number three, it takes a personal commitment. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. You know the account. Paul and Silas are in prison. The Bible tells us, beginning with verse 25 there, that is at midnight, they began to pray and began to sing praises to the Lord. Now, as far as we can understand from the context of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, as far as they knew, that may very well have been their last night on the earth. As far as they knew, their execution time was coming in the morning. But yet they sang praises. And they prayed. Prisoners heard them. Jailhouse began to shake. Walls began to rock. The gates were open. All that was good, but my favorite part was when it says everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. Everyone's bands were loosed. You think they'd have run away, but not Paul or Silas. They were having too good a time at church. They were singing and preaching and praising God. All the prisoners heard them. They had them a congregation. They weren't going anywhere. But the Philippian jailer, he comes in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Isn't it interesting that you don't see anything about any mention that anything was said about being saved? But that old Philippian jailer, somehow or another, he had caught that term. I think that it's not recorded, but I think that very likely Paul had already witnessed to the man. As they were putting him in prison, he maybe talked to him about being saved. He'd already learned, you know, that terminology. He had to have learned it somewhere. But he says, what must I do to be saved? Look what they said. Verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his house. Now watch this, these two key things here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And then it mentions that he was baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, on that day of Pentecost, Peter preached that message that centered on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the people responded in verse 37 and 38 of that chapter. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? What was their answer? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Repentance, you understand, turning from one direction to the other. It's making a U-turn. Turning away from your sins, turning away from your lost condition, turning away from your old life, and turning in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive him. That's repentance, amen? And then baptism is that identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Without those things, there would be no salvation. So repentance and baptism. I'd submit to you, Dr. Innocent, I think if you put those two terms and understand what they're for, you put those two terms together, it would equal one word, and that is the word commitment. Amen? It means I'm turning away from old life. I'm turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm being baptized. I'm identifying with him. It is a personal commitment that I'm making to him. Understand something, my friend. Salvation is a commitment. Amen? Let me say it this way. It takes a commitment. When you commit your life, when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, nobody else can do that for you. No. Mom and dad can't do it for the children. Your brother and sister can't do it for you. You're the only one that can make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it takes, do you see this? Real salvation takes personal conversion, takes personal confession, takes personal commitment. Last thing, I'm through. It takes a personal confidence. A personal confidence. Job said, I know. I mean, really, you could read that and say, well, enough said. Job said, I know. I know. Somebody wants to debate with you. The gospel of Jesus Christ was salvation with our faith, what we believe. I want to tell you something. My faith is not up for debate. I'm not into this thing of having to argue about it. I'm really not even in this thing of having to prove it to you. I know what God's done in my life, and I seek to live to serve him, live for him, and hopefully by example that I do show you, that we do show others what our salvation, what our faith is all about. But it's not up for argument. It is not up for debate. Listen, my friend, I know apologetics is necessary for the Christian and especially necessary for the man of God, for the preacher. But understand something. My faith is not on trial. My faith is not subject to somebody else's approval. Job was that way. Job just said, man, I know. A personal confidence, you see. That's real salvation. 1 John chapter 5, you should be familiar with this, but verses 11, 12, and 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record. That God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. K-N-O-W. Know. That you may know that ye have eternal life. A salvation that is now, that you have eternal life. A salvation that is to come, that you know that you have it. A salvation that is mine. That's what real salvation is. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And I think it's special that the Holy Spirit had John pen these words right after that, in verse 14, where he says, he's talking about prayer, of course, but he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Folks, I believe real salvation means a real confidence. It does mean conversion, confession, and commitment, but it also means confidence. And confidence is not, listen, confidence, for to have a confidence that will get you through tragedy, that'll get you through heartache, that'll get you through financial failure, a health crisis in your family. Confidence that'll get you through those things that in this world it appears that there's no chance, there's no hope. That confidence can only come from an assurance of a real salvation. My confidence is in him. Job was a man like that. Job, though all that he went through, says, I know, I know, I know. Of all the book of Job, and probably all of us from time to time like to go back and study it, I do, and see how it ended, see how it started, see how it ended. Look at all those things, those friends. Yeah, friends, you know, with those kind of friends, who needs enemies, amen? But those friends that came to Job. Yet through it all, Job would never charge God foolishly. Job would never, he didn't understand it. Even it sounds like at times would want to kind of argue with God or question God, but I think through all of that, it was simply, God, I don't understand. Don't understand. That's what Job was going through. He never charged God foolishly. And he said, even if he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. Amen. Never charge God foolishly. You know how the Lord blessed Job in the end. But I think the whole book of Job, the best part to me at all is when he simply says, I know. I know. And I believe that in the churches in America today, one of the greatest needs for Christian people is to truly be able to say, I know that it's real. No matter what comes against me, I know that it's real. My salvation is now. The fullness of it is still yet to come. But thanks be to God, it's mine. It's mine. He is mine and I am his. And it is real. It is real. Brother Bob, sometimes you lead us in a song. I'm remembered. I don't remember all the words, no, but about it being real. It is real. It is real. Salvation is real. Amen? Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the fact of a real salvation and for the testimony of Job that we can have confidence in you. And though this world can bring tragedy, Lord, we can know. Lord, I prayed this morning that everyone in this building truly knows. But if there's someone here, there's some children here, some young people here. If they don't know, if they're not sure, maybe some moms and dads here that don't know, they're just not sure. Lord, help them to see the need of having assurance and knowing it's real and how that they can have that confidence, that peace that passeth all understanding and know that salvation is real this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.